WTLC AM Indianapolis. Indy's choice for inspiration and praise. AM 1310, The Light.
I am in downtown Indianapolis. I am standing in an arena where the best of African American young men get to show their talents every night. I'm at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. You know that is the home of our Indiana Pacers. And tonight, Michigan State, Duke, Kansas, and Kentucky, four of the best college basketball teams will be here. That's what this arena is all about. But this morning at the Fieldhouse, at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, at this outstanding arena, a group of citizens got to hear a report, the Your Life Matters Task Force report that talks about, listen to this, I'm in an arena, right? In virtually, and this is what the task force said, in virtually every arena that counts, poverty, employment, education, criminal justice, access to health care, and exposure to violence, young black men and boys come out worse in Indianapolis. 40% of black children in this city live in poverty. 60% of black children live in single-parent households. Unemployment rate for black youth, 16 to 19, triple the average youth employment rate for the state of Indiana. Black youth are 30% less likely to have a mentor than their white counterparts. 40% of young people on the waiting list at Big Brothers and Big Sisters are black boys. It is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos for Tuesday, November the 18th, 2014. I'm Amos Brown. I'm up here on the balcony level of Bankers Life Fieldhouse. They got me set up right next to the picture of the 1985-1986 Indiana Pacers. That included Clark Kellogg and Herb Williams and the late, great Wayman Tisdale. God bless him. A young Donnie Walsh. But boy, he looked young back then. It had other players like Vern Fleming. Some of the Mel Daniels was an assistant coach at that time. Those were young men at the time, many African American who were successful. But we have so many today in our city that are not as successful. A 16-member task force led by Indiana Black Expo President Tanya Bell and Indiana Civil Rights Commission Executive Director Jamal Smith came together. They added another 20. Resource people throughout the community, and they've come up with a report in 7 broad areas, 44 specific recommendations. Many of them are powerful. Many of them deal with subjects that have been brought up on this program since we began in February 2004. We're going to walk you over the next 2 hours with the specific recommendations. We'll get your reactions to them at 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll talk with some of the community leaders. There's folks from the high and mighty. There's some grassroots folks that are here as well. Pastor Horatio Luster is here. He's been in the meetings this morning. First of all, Pastor, welcome.
Thank you, Amos.
What was your reaction to these recommendations, some of which kick you in the gut?
Anyways, my recommendation, or my thought, as you would say, I think that we have discussed things that are not new. I think that a lot of things that was discussed today were fantastic, and definitely it's good to see us coming together once again. However, and I'm not knocking it at all. As a matter of fact, I employ it. I think we need it. The continuation of communication and collaboration is excellent. However, as long as I've been a community activist here in the city, working with different organizations, working with the community, and I am so delighted to see that, as you just said, they have grassroots people there, here. One of the grassroots people, as a matter of fact, Dr. Clyde Bowden, Nick Bowden, has stated how what I gather from what he said, there is an oversight of grassroots organizations that literally have boots on the ground. I think that's extremely important because some of the organizations that have been mentioned today do excellent work, and kudos to them. They have giant budgets. They can get stats from all over, and that's excellent. However, I do think that it's imperative that we get back to looking at the grassroots organizations. And with that, in collaboration, that we don't just keep coming together with the concept of a good idea and lose each other in the process, but that we continue in dialogue and including everybody into what we're trying to do.
A couple of the powerful recommendations, and this even has come from listeners, and it was great to finally see this in a collection of professionals that included some grassroots people come up with that. They said that Indianapolis needs to have a specific summer youth program. They cited some of the success stories that we have here, Clean for Green, obviously this summer, underfunded but had such a great need. The report talked about a program in Baltimore that combines government. This comes out of the mayor's office in Baltimore. It combines government, private sector, the faith community, what have you. They put 5,000 to 7,000 young people to work. One of the other things was the report said that we need to sensitize the business community on the importance of summer job programs.
Well, I think anytime you talk about community development, the community consists of every entity from the business, law enforcement, city government, faith-based. That's what makes up the community in reality. I am in agreement to that. You know, Clean for Green was an excellent concept this summer. I often say this. I've traveled the country and I have investigated into other organizations and what they do. I believe that Indianapolis have some of the best organizations and programs in the country. However, we do. We get a program, we get it rolling, we get it going. It's good. It has momentum. It's helping folk. And then it's almost like we snatch the funding out of something that's already working. And then we have new organizations that crop up that do not have the longevity of some of the other organizations that have been running for a period of time that have proven and shown that they are a benefit.
Should this report have put a price tag and saying we need to make an investment of X?
It could have. It could have. I mean, I always say, hey, listen, you have not because you ask not. So it could have, and you know, I always say this. I say, when I go to funders and ask them about funding, what's the most that they can tell me? Well, the worst they can tell me?
No.
No, that's it. But again, I resort back to the script. It says, you have not because you ask not.
The biggest section of the report dealt with education, particularly the problems of out-of-school suspension, disparity of suspension and expulsion, the whole issues of special education. As I was briefed on the report the end of the week and looked through education, I know you remember Brenda, who would always call up about the issues of special education and disparity. I almost saw her words and the thing she was advocating leap off the page of the report. Did you kind of hear that today?
I think you cannot get away or get around education on whatever level it's on, special needs or just education, period. When you look at education, you look at crime, you look at dollar, they all go hand in hand. So the educational piece is something that's extremely important for the city of Indianapolis, dealing with the dropout rate, because, I mean, we're at an all-time high. Dealing with the special needs, and when you deal with the dropout rate, that right there is the contribution to the high numbers in crime that we have.
I'm Pastor Horatio. I'm going to let you get back in there because they're also they're also getting ready to deal with health, and that's a subject we rarely hear about in connection with young black males. Usually, when we're talking about health, we're talking about female health, or we're talking about the health of older adults or our senior citizens. In the report, and we'll share some of those recommendations with our listeners as we go along, dealt with it's time for the health community to be sensitive to the health needs of young African Americans and encourage them to get engaged in the health community.
Amos, you hit the nail on the head, because even as I was sitting and I was listening to all of the mentoring entities, mentoring organizations, it crossed my mind to how we spend a little bit of time and energy in the mental health issues or health issues in relation to the reason that young black men are committing some of the crimes that they are committing, because you're right, it's an issue that is not addressed. We can get money, we can do mentoring, but if you don't know what you're getting money for and how to allocate that money, if you do not understand little Jamie's issues that are going on at home, you can't correctly and successfully mentor him.
Pastor Horatio Lefshaw, I'm going to let you get back in the meeting. I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310. Let me see if I can. Ma'am, sir, No, I was trying to. Did you enjoy what you heard? But the people would like to know what you thought. No? Okay. See, I'm trying to get folks in there. Let me kind of walk everybody through some of these recommendations. Also, a little bit later in this hour, you'll hear our exclusive interview with Michael Smith. Michael Smith is special assistant to President Barack Obama. He is over the My Brother's Keeper initiative in the White House. He was here earlier today. He is traveling across the country to all of the cities that are participating in the My Brother's Keeper community challenge. Part of that community challenge is to hold a summit like existed here in Indianapolis this morning to talk about the specific issues that are impacting African-American males. One of the things the task force had as a challenge is looking at the problems faced by African-American males in this state. That black students in Indiana are overrepresented in special education, underrepresented in gifted and talented programs. Greater percentage of black students receive general diplomas than Core 40 diplomas. Black students disproportionately in need of remediation upon entrance to college, 55% needing remediation versus 35% of whites. A young black boy has a 1 in 3 chance of going to prison in his lifetime compared to a 1 in 17 chance for white males. And we all know the statistics about murder. Last year, 125 murders. Black males were 66% of the victims, 64% of the murder suspects. There was a number of recommendations. A number of recommendations that were made. Let me kind of start walking everybody through the major area in terms of recommendations and finding was in education. And the task force found that there is racially disparate school discipline that exists in all the school systems in Indianapolis and Marion County, IPS, the township schools, and the charter schools. There's issues of due process rights for suspensions and expulsions. They broke down in this 102-page report detailed school discipline data for schools in Marion County. They found that you have to give a reason that you give a student an out-of-school suspension. That's state law. And they found out that the most common reasons given for out-of-school suspensions is not having a knife, is not having alcohol, it's not having any kind of weapon, it's not fighting. But the largest area is other. 27% of the out-of-school suspensions in Marion County were for reasons of other. Schools didn't even bother to break down what other meant. Nobody knows what other meant. But nearly one out of three school suspensions was for other. 22% was for defiance. Defiance could be kid drops a book. Teacher says, pick the book up. Kid says no. They throw them out of school in a suspension. That's called defiance. Only 17% was for fighting. 11% was for verbal aggression. 7% of out-of-school suspensions dealt with attendance issues. So in other words, kids not in school, comes back to school maybe without a note, and that's an attendance issue, and you throw the kid out of school because of that. There's also the problems of disproportionate suspensions and expulsions of special education students, not following the rules and the policy of special education. So in the area of education, the Your Life Matters Task Force recommends a number of things. They recommend and emphasize and support early childhood education. They want state law modified to specify that all public schools, including charter schools, must have a written discipline policy that addresses positive behavioral intervention support and restorative justice to minimize the number of discipline practices. We should require additional information to be provided when the term other is used by schools completing the state report for suspensions and expulsions. Prohibit out-of-school suspensions for attendance problems. Modify the state law requirement on what is called average performance to include disaggregation of academic performance and discipline data, as well as special education proceedings where a school has been found to have committed a due process violation. Require the collection and reporting of data for the number of requests for police dispatch and arrest. Right now, schools are not required to report how many times do they call the police to come to the school to deal with an issue. The task force said Indiana needs to have a right by law for alternative education for expelled students. Right now, if you're expelled from school, you're not eligible to even go to alternative education. The committee recommended that that needs to change, that there needs to be a requirement for that. And they want access. We need to ensure access to rigorous instruction in alternative schools. Right now, you've got standards for all kinds of education in this state, but no standard for what is in an alternative school. An alternative school could be me taking students down here to watch a practice at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and that's called alternative education. That's crazy. 239-1310, 239-1310. You may want to react to those suggestions in education. We'll be walking people through some of the other recommendations of the Your Life Matters Task Force, getting your viewpoint on them. If you want to read the task force report for yourself or download it, you could do it right now. It's on our website at praiseindy.com. That's praiseindy.com, right there on the homepage, or you can click on YLM Indy, and it is on that particular homepage there. 239-1310. 239-1310 is our number. It is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos for this Tuesday at the launch of the report for the Your Life Matters, a committee, a task force appointed by Mayor Ballard back in the summer on criminal justice. The research the task force did found that the obvious, black males are 6 times more likely to be incarcerated in Indiana than their white counterparts. There's a disparate number of black males incarcerated. It's a national trend. The problem upon release, ex-offenders confronted with many collateral consequences of having a criminal record, everything from stigma, loss of dignity and respect, loss of necessities to live a quality life, including transportation, housing, employment. The recidivism rate, which is a return to incarceration within 3 years of the date of release, that's how the Department of Corrections here in Indiana defines it. The recidivism rate here in the state of Indiana is 40.7%. That's 4 out of every 10 inmates released backslide within 3 years. Some of the recommendations that the task force made in the area of criminal justice, that we need to scale programs to afford an opportunity for all incarcerated offenders to receive services and treatment. Focus on their first day in, not their first day out. Work to support the Indianapolis Marion County Council Reentry Policy Study Commission's policy recommendations, including the enhancement and development of best practice reentry programs. Work to provide incentives to allow inmates the opportunity to work off reentry fees. Work to develop and implement alternative programming in lieu of school-to-police contact. Change state law to change the requirement that juvenile courts must tell schools when children have a true finding of a felony, that's the juvenile version of guilty, even if the conviction is a non-school-related offense. My good friend Steve Quick is a member of the task force. First of all, great work of all the members of the task force is very, very substantive. We're getting ready to get the reaction of the community. How do you want the community to take this report?
I think they need to take it seriously. What I don't want to happen is make it where it's a political football, depending on who's mayor or who's this or that. We as a community need to really get together, come together, no matter what your political differences are, your religious differences, whatever, and try to solve this issue that we got in our community and the disparity within the community.
Is this a report where everybody that's saying they're going to run for mayor and council needs to be asked on the record, hey, have you read this? What do you think?
Yes, I think that's absolutely right, because this is something that's got to be fixed no matter who's mayor. This is a real community issue that we all need to work together as a team and as members of the community.
One thing surprised, as you went through the deliberations, was there any issue or recommendation that came out as you all started to look at this that you kind of went, oh, Lord, I didn't know that?
Well, the thing that was surprising for me, for example, out of 2.3 million folks is in prison, 1 million of us is black. And that was surprising to me, being that we just 10 to 12% of the population. The reentry, the other thing that's surprising, the more you can't put everything in a report. It'd be big as a building. But when you look at the way that things are set up, for example, with the private prison industry, they get extra dollars based on the high percentage of folks they keep incarcerated. They have lobbyists that's basically working over at the state to give people more sentences, which creates a lot of free labor. So I was surprised at that.
There was no price tag put on the recommendations in terms of there needs to be an investment, not necessarily by government. I don't think this is a government investing thing, but from the private sector and the philanthropic sector. Was there discussion within the task force as to whether to put a price tag on things or just kind of leave it vague?
Well, the reason
vague's the wrong word.
I think the reason you have to do one thing was hard is you did the survey process. A lot of folks either didn't have information, they didn't track it, it was really working out of their heart and how they felt, so they didn't track a whole lot of data that you really need to see what a price tag would really be. So that was one of the big struggles. Folks who just do what they do because of the community trying to make a difference, they don't track it a lot. And if you notice, one of the things we talked about today was tracking that data and that information so you can put a comprehensive plan together and you know what cost is all about.
You all talked, the task force talked about the importance of documenting and data. Is that something that the community has to teach grassroots organizations, and not to talk down or point a negative finger at grassroots, you're absolutely right, Steve. They do a lot of great work, and a lot of it is from their head and their heart, and they ain't worrying about writing everything down. But is it something where it needs to be documented so we really know what everybody's doing?
Yes, and then if you got a lot of duplicate services that's going on, you would know that. You know, so everybody's not doing the same thing. You know what things cost. You also will be able to reflect on what's working and what's not working.
In terms of when we talk to the listeners will hear our interview with Michael Smith of the White House, because I'm trying to get some of this national money to come up there. How important is it going to be, since Indianapolis seems to be ahead of other cities in at least having a report together, having a roadmap together, to be able to not only go to our local funders here and say, hey, this is where we're going, you need to invest, but some of these national comes and, hey, this is what we're doing.
I think we're ahead of the curve on that, and just like the Brother Smith said from D.C., and that's a good thing. So hopefully that this is on the website. Other cities and counties can look at it and see what we're doing here and adopt some of the things we're doing, and let's work collaboratively together to make a difference.
Steve Quick with AFSCME. He was a part of the Your Life Matters Task Force. Thanks very much for stopping by. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is AFSCME News. Name is Special Edition. Let me go to Lewis. Lewis, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, hey, listen, I hope you got the dog real good. I wanted to ask your guest if you still have him there. I have a question along with it. I want to know what Mr. Hawks' campaign number is, but I would like to know, why can't the mayor, the police department, and the local churches get together and do work something out as far as the crime and joblessness in these poor neighborhoods? I got a suggestion. It's all these here houses that's abandoned in the city owns, they're going to have to use taxpayers' money to tear them down. Instead of tearing them down, why don't you use the same taxpayer money to build them up along with these here young, and let the young people, instead of hiring these here over-expensive contractors, hire someone to lead these young people to build these houses back up, rent them at low-income prices, through the church, let the churches hire these here young people through the city. And then once these here houses are open, every so many blocks or in the community have some of those houses where the police just sit there, you know, through the day and through the night, put a microwave oven in one of those houses, let the neighborhood community, people that live in the neighborhood, take care of those houses. And for the houses that's there, like I said, instead of tearing them down, build them up, and rent them at low-income prices. And then with the police going to community policing, they're not going to tear down something that they got a chance to own, and along with the policemen in the neighborhood.
Lewis, that's
it. Why can we invest the money like that? And like I said, I would love Joe Hawksett's number, but I would like your response to that.
I don't have Joe Hawksett's number. He's got a website. I think it's joehogsett.com, and you can get the number that way. On employment, what they did say is that We don't have a youth unemployment problem. We have a youth work readiness problem. The Indianapolis lacks a large-scale pathways to employment initiative in spite of standalone youth employment programs. Publicly funded grants for youth employment are limited. Their recommendations were to create an ambitious, regional, cross-sector youth employment initiative that provides multiple ways to success.
Well, see, when you come up with stuff about grants and all this stuff, you got to have all these restrictions and all this red tape. Get with the local mayor, whoever the mayor is, get with these here churches and hire these young people to build these houses up instead of tearing them down.
But the question is, where would the money come from?
The same money you build in the bicycle lanes and stuff with. Instead of doing that, instead of investing in a bicycle, invest in these young people. And then the crime rate will go down because they have a job building these their houses up. The money is there. It's just the politics gets in the way. That's all it is. There's plenty of money out there to work with these here young people.
All right. That's a good point, my brother. I appreciate it. Let me go to Larry right quick at 239-1310. Larry, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, you know, the more I see, Amos, that we need to let these kids go ahead and fulfill their own destiny, whatever that destiny is, and stop the Juden rats. J-U-D-E-N-R-A-T-S. That's a very piece of terminology that we can use now once again. Because what happens is every time you get your blue ribbon panel, they select all the information they can and then use the things that they find are most hurtful to our kids against them. That's all they do. I mean, Tanya Bell and her bunch over Black Expo done the African-American Mail in Indianapolis report. It got 100% worse. So I think that they're Juden rats, and all they're doing is they're doing collecting as many of our boys as they can into segregated areas and then turn them over to authorities. That's what they're doing, the same thing the Juden rats done during the Holocaust. So that's what they are, and get any of them that was involved in that little program they had, because they should have took the money and gave these people some work to do. And that's what they're trying to keep them away from. Keeping them not learning them how to read. I was over my visiting my relatives. The kids are dumb as hell. Some of them go to Grambole. I try to tell the kid, what is physics? You know anything about quantum physics or anything? He don't know nothing. He don't want to know. He's running to some corner to set up with an iPhone and look at whatever he looks at. So I just think we need to leave our kids alone and stop benefiting off of their bloodshed and their ruin that they're coming to. All we're doing is exacerbating the problem. The white folks created the problem. Let them deal with it.
All righty, 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon news. We're here at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. We're walking you through the recommendations of the Your Life Matters Task Force. It was appointed by the mayor. Let me finish with a couple of the recommendations as it relates to employment. Promote careers that are projected to be in high demand in central Indiana that do not require a four-year college degree. Provide incentives for existing small businesses and social enterprise programs to hire youth. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is. We'll take a break. When we come back, more of your reaction. We'll share some of the reports, recommendations in the area of mentoring and health. And you'll also hear our exclusive interview with Michael Smith, Special Assistant to President Barack Obama. He is the point person for the Obama administration, for the president, on the My Brother's Keeper program, which is working to deal with the problems of young men of color, including African Americans, all across this country. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We're live from Bankers Life Fieldhouse after these.
Hello, this is Pastor Richard E. Willoughby, President of Concerned Clergy of Indianapolis, and you are listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light, Indy's source for inspiration and praise.
239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoons with Amos. We are live from Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and this is where about 100 folks from the community of all different organizations gathered this morning at 9 a.m. To hear the report of the Your Life Matters Task Force, 44 recommendations in a number of areas. One of the areas is health. And it's a surprising area that when you're talking about the problems that are affecting young black men and boys between the ages of 14 and 24, you don't hear a lot about health. And the recommendations of the task force in health included that healthcare organizations and social service agencies need to work collectively and individually on effective program offerings. offerings, outreach, and marketing strategies. They need to convene a meeting to establish a framework for coordination of activities and services targeted to black youth. To encourage local funders to emphasize the importance of data collection, tracking, and sharing, and to provide support to healthcare providers and social service agencies to gather, track, and report data. Mandate that healthcare professionals get training in the recognition of factors that contribute to youth violence, including poverty, truancy, and mental health. And encourage the Central Indiana Leadership Council, the Indiana Minority Mental Health Professionals Association, local social service agencies, and other healthcare providers to work collaboratively and focus on best practices to determine how best to provide healthcare and social services to underrepresented communities. One of the things the task force found is that healthcare professionals are always focusing, particularly if they're focusing on African Americans, they're focusing on women, they're focusing on older adults and African-American senior citizens, but rarely focusing on young black men. And that never thought of it. And so that is one of the recommendations. The other area that the task force dealt with was mentoring. And their recommendation is to advance initiatives to encourage corporate, government, and other employees to mentor. Support awareness and outreach initiatives that promote the value and need for mentoring. Integrate mentoring into holistic approaches to drive achievement and increase opportunity at school, home, and in the workforce. Develop strategic collaborations and explore new funding sources for mentoring programs. Encourage funders to fund capacity-building efforts of mentoring organizations to align themselves with evidence-based standards of practices, including Indiana Quality Mentoring Standards. Tanya Bell was one of the two co-chairs. Jamal Smith of the Civil Rights Commission also joined me. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. So now you have birthed it. You have moved it on. What are you most proud of these 44 recommendations in seven areas?
I'm proud of the collaborative effort amongst the task force. I mean, it was really a lot of work. As you know, we had about 4 months to put these recommendations together. And so I'm proud of the substance behind the recommendations and looking forward to the implementation plan.
The key is Jamal Smith, implementation plan. You guys' responsibility was to deliver this. Is it now up to the community? Is this something where it should, first of all, not be seen as the possession of the existing mayor? This needs to be have ownership by everyone?
That's certainly correct. I think we're going to, for this thing to sincerely take birth, the community is going to have to buy in. And although I think it's incumbent, and I think TAS, per the acceptance of the My Brother's Keeper piece, for the mayor's office to appoint, if you will, a person or an organization to take this thing a go. No matter who that is, if the community in and of itself doesn't have the buy-in, then I think it's all for naught, which is why I would follow that up with outlets like your show, Amos, and other media outlets are vitally important to make sure that the message continuously gets delivered to the people who need it the most.
Yeah, the Indianapolis Star, when they published their story this morning on your task force recommendations, the comments that they have received from their readers are uniformly negative, and they focus on parental responsibility and personal responsibility. That was not in the task force report. Was that a deliberate decision?
I don't think it was deliberate. I mean, we looked, what the task force set out was looking at programmatic and policy issues, and that's what we did. We looked at the different programs in Indianapolis to see if they were effective and if they were adequately addressing barriers that exist for African-American boys and men, as well as policy. And so with that, that's what the task force set out. We all know that it takes parental responsibility, particularly when you look at the education issue. But we also know, and I'm not shocked by the negative comments, but that, to me, that's just a sign that there needs to be more education to different sectors of our community.
Jamal, the data that is in the report, when people go to praiseindy.com and click the report on, or go to our other station websites and click on Your Life Matters Indy and download the report, they will see almost 50 pages of data and footnotes and and citations of where the information comes from, as well as information about all different types of schools in Marion County, IPS, township schools, and charter schools in terms of their problems with disparate discipline. does the city have a positive opportunity to lead by implementing some of the task force's recommendation for charter schools where they don't need the approval of the state, where they don't need the approval of Glenda Rich or the State Board of Education? They can just implement those as the authorizer.
Well, I do think the charter school organizations have an opportunity to be the pioneers in many regards, but I think it's a collective piece. In Indiana, you have the opportunity to choose, and there's some very hard decisions that have to be made as it relates to school discipline, right? You mentioned the whole parental piece, which I think personally is a scapegoat for those who want to just, you know. It's funny, as we have this conversation even before the report, it's very rare that I'm in a conversation with a collective group of people and nobody passes the buck to the next group, right? Nobody wants to say, this is my piece of the proverbial problem. And although you say, yeah, parental engagement is important, but so are the policies that our schools are implementing. So are some of the laws and things that our General Assembly has enacted. So are some of the subjective behavior that comes from our teachers and our principals and administrators. All that is collective in the issue. But to your point, in terms of not having as many strings attached, if you will, to what they can and how they can change policy, I do think the charter world has an opportunity to be a pioneer. But that does not exclude the traditional public sector as well as the townships, because if the collective button pushers, if you will, get together in partnership with whomever gets appointed as the quarterback of this thing, we can really see some movement throughout Indianapolis.
When you all, I asked Steve Quick this, as you all went through the deliberations, what surprised you? What thing came out, what piece of information came out, and you went, man, I didn't know that?
A few of the recommendations. So, just a few pointers. I mean, one of the things that came by way of Judge Moore's is there's a law on the books that mandates that she reports if a kid has been found or guilty of a true finding, right? So they've been found guilty.
That's guilty in juvenile talk.
Right? They're required to report. She's required. Her court's required to report that to the schools, and by and large, the schools are using that information to kick the kids out.
Even if the crime, but if the crime had nothing to do with the school, if a kid stole cigarillos from a village pantry, the school could kick them out, even though that sin was not in that school.
That's the caveat. Even if it has nothing to do with school-related issues. And therein also lies, if you look at, and I'm praying that many people actually read the report, as they list the number of categories that, you know, can be given as the excuse for putting the kids out or kicking the kids out, there's that proverbial that category of other, right? That vague category of other. A lot of that's being dumped into other. It's the number one category as it relates to reasons for kicking kids out of school.
When I looked at the reasons for out of school suspensions, actual violence, actually having a weapon, having a bottle of booze, that's a very, very small number.
Yeah. And most of the time, no one really knows what that other means. And to add to that, the list is pretty comprehensive. They even break the kind of guns you have down. There's a category for handguns. There's a category for rifles. You know.
Let me ask the other question. Is other a way because the schools are afraid? Well, if we really put down that the kid had a gun, people are going to think our school is real dangerous, so we'll put down other to make the offense seem soft and that we're a safer school, because that would also be the reverse.
That's what it appears to be. So the recommendation is obviously that to break it down. And if you are going to suspend a kid and use other, then you need to be able to define what other really means.
All right, so the report is now available everywhere. I hear it's on the Expo website. It's on the city's website. It might be on the Civil Rights website before it's all over with. We talked to Michael Smith, and our listeners will hear that in a bit, and I was trying to get some of that money the president's got from the National Foundations. The fact that this report is out, the fact that in terms of other cities, Indianapolis has already completed the step of analyze what the problem is, does this open the door for some national support from some of the national foundations that are supporting the My Brother's Keeper part of all this?
Yes, I think the great thing about it with us taking the pledge for the My Brother's Keeper, Amos, is that there is a sense of accountability if we move forward, because there is a step that is required even with the implementation process as part of that that process from the national level. So I think that's one great thing that comes out of there, because there is a check and balance, so you say, with respect to making sure that there is an implementation plan. But I also think that this is a great opportunity from a funding standpoint to address some of the issues in the report. One of the things that I would have liked to have seen today is more funders in the room, because we really need to have the buy-in from the funders in order for us to kind of move forward to fill in some of the gaps that were identified today.
All right, Tanya Bell, I know you have to run. Jamal Smith, this organization, they used to be back there before the legislature doesn't give me any money or anything. Guys, great, great report, great work. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Amos.
239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk with our interview with Michael Smith. Of the White House, assistant to the President of the United States. He is the point person for My Brother's Keeper, the initiative of the Obama administration. This afternoon's name, a special edition from Bankers Life Fieldhouse after these.
Hi, this is Linda L.C. Clements, and when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Life.
239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon's name is we're live at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Earlier, he noting this summit as part of Your Life Matters and My Brother's Keeper Indianapolis as part of the My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge that was inaugurated by the president about 2 to 3 months ago. Michael Smith is special assistant to the President of the United States. He has responsibility over the My Brother's Keeper program, and he has been attending some of these summits all across the country. Earlier this morning, we had the opportunity to grab Mr. Smith and talk to him about a number of issues as it relates to My Brother's Keeper. Let's go to that interview. One of the point people for My Brother's Keeper on behalf of the Obama administration, he's one of the hardest working special assistants of the president. He has so many, but somehow I get the feeling you're the special one of the president. Michael Smith is here in Indianapolis for the Your Life Matters, My Brother's Keeper Summit. First of all, Mr. Smith, welcome to Indianapolis.
It's great to be here, and thanks for bringing out your best weather for me.
Oh, don't start with, hey, don't get there. We lost the game the other day. That's why it's cold. So you have been traveling across the country to other cities that are participating in the My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge and their initial 45-day summit. First of all, what are you learning in the other cities that you visited?
I'm learning, one, that there is a serious commitment. There's a commitment from elected officials. There's a commitment from communities. And there's a desire that people really want to take action against an issue that I think they finally realize is unacceptable.
In terms of the next steps, obviously this is a very detailed report. You said in your initial remarks to the group here that Indianapolis is actually ahead of the curve of what you and the administration want cities and states and towns and even Native American reservations to do as part of the My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge, and that is to identify what the problems are, make recommendations. Now there's a next step that'll take about, I think, 3 to 6 months. What's that next step, and what is the expectations from any community at the next stage in My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge?
So the next stage is action. I think you know very well that we have lots of committees, we have lots of meetings, and they oftentimes end in committees and meetings. And so the president is committing to moving these folks to action, and so mayors that are responding are saying not only will we do a planning process, but we're going to begin executing the reports within 180 days. And so now's the time for them to take these recommendations and put them into action.
How important is it that the entire community is involved in these types of things? As people are going to read this particular report, which is very, very detailed, just the parts about education and the disparities and out-of-school suspensions are darning in itself. But what is the role of people that are listening right now, whether they're in churches and lodges, in fraternities and sororities, civic groups, grassroots leaders? What is their role in helping to make these 44 recommendations come to life?
you know, this is an all-hands-on-deck moment. I think we can no longer sit on the sidelines and say those are somebody else's kids. This is a moment that we have to realize that these are all our kids, not only because we have a moral obligation to them, but because our society will not continue to be globally competitive if we have this number of people that are sitting on the sidelines and not participating. And so it's really an opportunity on a wide variety of these recommendations for regular everyday folks to take action. One, we heard today that 40% of the kids that are waiting to be mentored here in Indianapolis are black boys. You've got, I think, over 600 that are waiting for mentors. That's an easy thing that people can step up and do. Another thing is advocating, pushing, going to your schools, talking about some of these suspension and expulsion policies that don't make any sense. Another thing is when it comes to college and career, if you're a small business owner, bring the idea of apprenticeships back. You know, let someone come in and shadow you to learn your business, to help to identify these pathways to college and career. So, you know, don't just wait for the government to do something. Don't just wait for nonprofits to do something. There's ways that everybody can take action.
There's been a bit of confusion about My Brother's Keeper. When the president announced it late last fall, there were a number of major national foundations and major national companies that made commitments to My Brother's Keeper. How does an Indianapolis replicate that with our major foundations and private sector?
Yeah, I think the mayor is already beginning to call them to action. I heard about the great work that's happening here on preschool, and Eli Lilly is already at the table in a big way and bringing other foundations to bear. And so, you know, the commitments that were launched announced at the launch of My Brother's Keeper, there will eventually be opportunities for communities all over the country to tap into them. The foundations that made those commitments actually released a report where they tell specifically how those dollars are going to be spent. And so, one, there's an opportunity there to tap into some of these national resources that were still growing, and some of these partnerships that we're initiating, like the ones with the NBA around mentoring. But two, I think there's an opportunity to use this moment to call the private sector to action. One of the things I'm learning is the private sector realizes that this is beyond grant dollars, that there's an opportunity for them to change their business practices, their hiring procedures, to make sure that they're doing something about boys and young men of color, to make sure that we have a strong workforce that's coming into bear.
When My Brother's Keeper was launched, I went to the website at whitehouse.gov, and I looked at all the different stakeholders that you want in a community to be engaged. The one group of stakeholders that was missing from your literature is media. Why is that? What is the role of African American media? Because in nowhere in My Brother's Keeper have I heard Radio 1 engaged and involved, Ebony engaged and involved, BET or TV 1 engaged and involved. Where is the role of media in My Brother's Keeper? And as I'm asking you this question, you're going,
That's a great question, and it's a good challenge.
That's why when you've been around 40 years in media, you get to ask these kind of questions.
It's a great question, and one, it's a good challenge for me to go back and think about that more seriously and how we're doing a better job of engaging media. But one, many members of the African American press have been there from the very beginning covering it. Ebony, for instance, has been working with our White House Council on African American Educational Excellence, doing an ongoing series about the challenges there and what people can do. The other thing that we're doing, and probably happening a little bit more with private sector, is this conversation around changing the narrative. And so, you know, we talk about a lot of the detriments, a lot of the challenges that our boys and young men of color face, but we very seldomly talk about the fact that there are a high percentage of the military population and veterans, that the report that just came out recently shows that when they are involved fathers, they're more involved than other groups, that there's a higher percentage of giving to churches and communities. And so there are a lot of assets. I mean, even folks that are coming from urban environments make great entrepreneurs. And so we have to begin to change the narratives and how our boys and young men of color are perceived, and media of all types, whether African American or otherwise, can really help to play a role there.
Your Life Matters is a slogan of our company, a trademark slogan of our company that we have used in some of our other communities across the country to help those communities deal with the problem of violence. We lent the city of Indianapolis the use of Your Life Matters for that name. Our listeners between now and the end of the year will be hearing in PSAs the actual recommendations of the task force report. Our websites already have the report up on our websites right now where people can get them and download them. So now you see how black media can help move this conversation forward.
Absolutely. A huge role to play. And it's played a historic role in all sorts of movement building. So I'm taking that back to Washington with me to make sure that we lift it up a little bit more.
And people can go to the website, whitehouse.gov, find out more information about My Brother's Keeper. Y'all got
got a special website.
The White House website, you can find everything, and you can also go to mbkchallenge.org and find out more information about the community challenge.
Now, he is not the Michael Smith that does gospel music. He's the Michael Smith that works for President Barack Obama in terms of shepherding My Brother's Keeper across the country. Again, welcome to Indianapolis. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me and for all the work that you're doing here.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's afternoon's name. I have been waiting ever since they announced your My Brother's Keeper to ask the White House why black media was not involved and engaged in that. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll kind of recap for those of you tuning in what the recommendations of this task force has been today in terms of trying to deal with the significant barriers and problems that young African-American males in this city from the ages of 14 to 24 face, particularly in the areas of education and health and the justice system, as well as mentoring. We'll give you our take on where this thing needs to go from here, and then more importantly, get your reactions at 239-1310, 239-1310. You can send me an email at praiseindy.com, as well as what role you can play. In other words, this task force spent all of this time, whites and blacks, Democrats and Republicans, coming up with some great recommendations. These really are some great recommendations, but it's not going to take effect. It's not just one or two leaders pushing it. Y'all got to push it, particularly these areas in education, because it touches every school system. This is not just IPS. This is Warren and Wayne and Washington and Pike and Perry and Decatur and Beech Grove and Speedway, as well as the charter schools. A lot of what people have called on this show for years, talking about disparate punishment, lack of due process, problems in special education, lack of knowing what's out there to provide help to getting mentoring for your young people. Health issues affecting young African-American males. The task force has issued some great recommendations. And instead of just waiting for somebody else to act, everybody has to act. All 300,000 of us in this city have to act. We'll get your reaction to that, right there, to all of that. I'll let you know where I think we need to start dealing with and doing all that and more. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos, live from Bankers Life Fieldhouse, where I think Michigan State is practicing on the big court, and the freshman, Coach Izzo at Michigan State, made all the freshmen walk or run all the way up to the top of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and down. So I'm not even going inside because he'll make me run over there. It's Afternoons with Amos, live from the Fieldhouse after these.